My guest at this time is Texas State Senator Brian Birdwell. 10 years ago at this time, he was U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Brian Birdwell, and he was in the Pentagon as it was struck by American Airlines Flight 77 on that fateful morning. In fact, he is the person closest to that collision point who is alive to tell his story today. He also tells a story in his book released shortly after his excruciating recovery from severe burns in a book entitled Refined by Fire. And Senator Birdwell, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, as if anyone has read your book, and as I'm sure you'll explain here in the next couple of minutes, your recovery was amazing and miraculous, to say the least. What do you remember of the moments leading up to the collision of the plane into the Pentagon and the chaos that followed?
I remember quite a bit. One of the miracles the Lord performed that day was that even after the impact of the aircraft 15 to 20 yards from where I was located, I was never unconscious. While I may not remember each exceeding detail of what occurred, I recall, and Mel and I in the book that you'd mentioned recount all those details. The day had started as any other, being there in D.C., the commute is like, trying to get into work and catching a bus at 5 in the morning and the like. Got into work at 6:30, and at 7 o'clock I was at the desk ready to be the military aide to my boss, a flag officer. And at 8 or so, both my principal, General Van Antwerp, and my immediate boss, Jan Minnig, stepped out to go to a conference we were hosting over at the Doubletree, which is across $395 from the Pentagon. So Sandy, Cheryl, and I remained in the office while Colonel Williams and the two flag officers went over to the Doubletree. And at 9 o'clock, saw the first news report and got that call from Sandy's daughter, Sam, who lived and worked in New York City. Turned TV on, and we did, in Miss Minnig's office, and we did what every other American was doing. As they were getting that first phone call or turning on the radio or turning on a TV and watching the breaking news that was happening out of New York. And we watched the events unfold in New York. And about 9:35, I stepped out to go to the men's restroom, told Sandy and Cheryl I'd be back momentarily, and went to the restroom, stepped out when I was done, and about 7 or 8 steps out of the restroom, Flight 77 makes impact with the building. And my life when circumstances would, of course, forever change. And that was the last opportunity to speak to my two coworkers, and would bring about a physical trauma for my wife and I to get through that is exceedingly difficult living in, life in a burn center and the nature of your recovery and what has to be done to you to keep you alive.
How clearly did you understand the extent of your injuries as the building around you lay burning and people were attending to you and others who had been affected?
I didn't know how massive my burns were. I knew that they were serious. As I staggered to get out of the fourth quarter, after this, let me back up for a moment if I may, Greg. There was a period of time, and while it seemed like an eternity, it couldn't have been more than seconds or minutes, but a period of time that as I'm aflame in the hallway and cannot navigate because of the blackness and, the only light's the ambient light from the flame, there's that moment of terror, and that's the right word, and it's defined by the panic that grabs your heart when you know that you're subject to a violent, terrible death. I knew I was dying a terrible death, and the panic that comes with not being able to escape it, to escape the source of that death. And so at that point, I'm not worried about the extent of my injuries. I was simply struggling to survive with that instinct that the Lord grants every one of us, that zest for living, that in trying to survive, I came to that realization that I would not. This was how the Lord was calling me home that day, and then I gave up, which is what we in the military are never trained to do, and waited to die. And that feeling of the soul departing the body did not come. In fact, I had collapsed under a sprinkler system that extinguished the flames that were consuming me, but as I laid on the floor, realizing that the soul wasn't departing the body, I opened my eyes and I could see in the distance of the light in the A-ring being the innermost ring of the Pentagon. I was down by the E-ring, which is the outer ring where the plane makes initial impact. And I couldn't see the light, but I could see the light reflecting off the tile floor. So I did my best to get up using the wall that I'd been blown up against. And as I'm staggering down the hallway, I could see the extent of my injuries on the arms. There was flesh hanging, my own black and scorched blood, the soot, the charring of my own flesh from the burning. My eyes are already beginning to swell. I could see the damage mainly because of the loss of so much of my clothing from being burned so badly. I knew I needed to get to medical care, but there was not a conscious thought about how serious or gravely serious or less than serious I was injured. I just knew I needed to get to medical care as quickly as I could. It was not until many weeks later, after getting into step down, coming out of ICU in the burn center at Washington Hospital Center, that coming into step down care, that whether it was Mel, my wife, or Dr. Jordan and Dr. Jang explaining to me the extent of my injuries, what I really learned, how badly injured I was.
Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Brian Birdwell, now a state senator in the state of Texas. He was at the Pentagon on 9/11 and is the closest man to the impact site to actually be alive today to tell his story. And we'll tell much more of it in the second part of this interview. Please look for it elsewhere on the site as we talk about the excruciating type of procedures necessary to clean his wounds, the extent of his burn wounds, the surgeries, how he made it through it all, and the great spiritual lessons that we'll all learn from Colonel Birdwell in the second half of this interview. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.